Hustle fam, hustle fam. What's fracking? We are back. And yeah, I said what's fracking. Today, we are taking the show to Texas, to the TX, to the fracking industry. If y'all are not familiar with the fracking process, it is the process of injecting liquids at a high pressure into rocks in order to release oil. Big business. It's a big, huge industry. And today we are talking to Marcus Jones, who has accomplished great things in that industry, in the fracking industry. 36 years old, grew his business to 180 trucks at one point. You know, man, it's incredible. This brother's story is really, really inspiring. He comes from a blue collar background, just working in the fracking industry, had a dream. You know, he was inspired by the book Think and Grow Rich, and man, he put his ideas on paper. And he brought his vision to fruition. And I was just really, really inspired by his story. And I hope that you guys are inspired as well. All right. So we're about to get into that. Listen, you know, as always, the regular housekeeping items, you know, make sure y'all are signed up to the YouTube channel. We have so much more to come. To the YouTube, I need y'all to go sign up. I need y'all to go to truckandhustle.com. Make sure you are on the mailing list. I have a big announcement newsletter coming, probably mid-April or a little earlier, but I need y'all to be signed up. Make sure you sign up with all of our socials. You know, just keep on supporting us, man. We're growing the brand. I want to keep on bringing you these exciting stories and inspiring y'all to start y'all businesses. You know, I don't want y'all to waver during this time. We praying for everybody who's been affected by this coronavirus. But still, we cannot waver. We got to stay strong. This is going to be a big opportunity for entrepreneurs. I feel it. I feel a lot of entrepreneurs, millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires are going to be born out of this pandemic. And, you know, I just want everybody to stay positive. And, you know, don't waver. Whatever you were working on before, keep working on it now. Become innovative and create new ways to get your message across. All right? So you know what it is. Put your ears on. And if you smell something burning, it's only your desire. Let's go. What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley. And welcome to Truckin' Hustle, the podcast for trucking entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
I think at the end of 18, we had 180 trucks. Get 100. So, and God's always been one of those people where you tell him your dream, he'll outdo you. That's mm-hmm. I believe that wholeheartedly. You tell him the dream, it might not come when you want it to come, but if you stay faithful, you stay working hard, you stay believing, it'll happen. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% on that now.
Turn my mic up.
Where you?
Take it there. Yeah. On the road to the riches, life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business. Hustle fam. Welcome to the show. Today I have a special guest with us, Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones, welcome to the show. Marcus has been in the business for over 12 years, right, Marcus?
Yes, sir. Going into my 13th year.
Going into your 13th year. You've had multiple businesses, right?
Yes, sir.
Started out in the fracking industry.
I started out fracking in 08, which was, I think we were coming out of recession about November 08. Ran into a good friend of mine, was talking about opportunity to make some money in fracking. I was looking to move around anyway from I was working a city job, just not barely making ends meet. But the beauty of the job, it allowed me to get my my order and my vision together for the last 12 years.
Okay.
So it was like almost like a holding tank for my dreams, how God had me there. I wanted to move early, but everything had to take its place.
Okay. All right. So we'll get into that. And currently what's your business right now? Cause you've had multiple businesses. So where are we at currently?
We're still fracking. We're still running about 25 trucks all times in that business, which is and then we do pneumatics. So we have we run fly ash, cement, potash. We have vac pneumatics too, which is a little bit different from pneumatics, but it's the same type of system. We haul plastic to Coke, Niagara. I think it's, what is the other one? The other plastic place. Up there in Ames, Iowa, we haul plastic, Coke, Niagara, and it's another Nestle. Yeah.
Okay.
So we haul for those. We got dedicated routes on that side too. Fracking has been a good business for the last, since 16. 16 has been really good. It actually blew up in 18 for me and my crew.
Can you kind of explain what fracking is, just to give the audience a general idea? Because a lot of people may not even be familiar with what fracking is.
Oh, it's hydraulic. What we do, I mean, I can break it down in layman terms. What we do is we take water chemicals and we pump it down the well board at a high pressure, probably 3,000-4,000 PSI. And what they're doing is they're sandblasting the rock that's down there. And the sand is gonna fill in where the oil is actually sitting in a pocket somewhere in the ground. And so they can't get the oil out without putting something in. So what they push sand into the pocket, which releases the oil. So it's called hydraulic. It's high pressure sandblasting in the grand scheme of things. It's a rock down there. They can't open. They're putting a whole bunch of PSIs, a pressure on it to open the rock up to allow the oil to flow. The carbon, oil, and gas to flow. Gotcha. And it goes about, they have vertical wells and have horizontal wells and they go between, verticals about 13,000-14,000, horizontals get up to about, the laterals get up to about 27,000 deep in the ground. They go in and they hook, and they hook in any direction. Wherever the oil is, the engineers and the drillers are so designed, and the technology is, they go right to it, boom. And then they come in, they cement it. They cement that well board that the driller just made, and then they come in after that, and we come in and frack it, the well. We come in and frack the well, so we're gonna hit like zones in the well, so you think of a lake of oil sitting down in the ground, but you can't get it out of the ground because of all the rock that's on top of it that's holding you from getting it. So they drill a hole. They don't drill a hole. They drill a hole right. They don't drill a hole right at the oil. They drill right in. They drill like in the proximity. Then they take C4. With a gun, and they push it down the hole, and then they blast it. Mm. And that opens up the fracture. What the sand does, it goes into the the hole, and it holds the hole there so the oil can continue to produce for years. So it's like, okay, you got the sand, you got the oil sitting somewhere, but you know how the ground shifts and all that. So if you don't put something in there, you could shoot that C4 and probably get the oil out, but it's gonna be very short lived. Because of how the earth keeps moving and spinning. So, and the ground always closes and moves and does what it wants to do. So you have to push sand inside of that where the oil is. It's going to go in there as a filler. It's going to fill where the oil is and press and push the oil out so it can flow.
Got you. And then at what point does the transportation piece come in?
The transportation comes in for the main thing is the sand. The sand is the main thing in the fracking game, because without the sand, you can't get the oil you can't get it out of the pocket that's sitting, the stubborn pocket of rock that it's sitting in. So the sand goes in at a high pressure to become like it mimics the rock. It pushes the sand, pushes it, goes all the way in and pushes the oil out. And they're doing this at high pressures, man. I mean, like 3,000-4,000 PSI, just hitting it hard, you know. They got like 18 frack pumps out there. Mm-hmm. Where these pumps are about $1 million a piece, and all they do is push pressure down the well, you know. And then they got this thing called a blender that blends the chemicals, the sand, all that together. And it's a real nice, it's pretty cool to see, man. You go on YouTube, they got a lot of people showing you how what's going on now. I actually got in at the beginning of the fracking revolution that we've had for the last 12 years. So It was actually a blessing to get in at that time, because I was able to learn a lot to a point where I became a young veteran.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So that was very instrumental in my growth, getting into young.
Early. Got you. So transportation wise, the trucks are pretty much transporting the sand back and forth.
Yes, sir. They're transporting the sand. We're big old silos are sitting out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and the blower is blowing the sand out of the pneumatic tank into the silo, and they're running the sand to keep up with the well. Crazy, man. We drop 500,000 pounds every hour and a half of sand just in the ground, like and it's crazy, man. It's crazy. You're talking about 11 trucks running, and you got to run back and forth to a well and fill it. It's almost like it's one of the most free, because you could, it's like at night you could just run,
right?
Back in the day before the ELD, pre-ELD, and you in the desert, man, nobody out there. It's almost like I relate to it as sport. It's a sport, you know. Who's the strong survive? If you go hard in it, you'll make a lot of money. If you stay out there, you'll grind. So once I got in, I seen that this was, you know, this is built for hustlers. It's not built for nobody that's trying to just see their family. You guys go in months at a time at times. Like I got a guy right now, he's been out there 11 weeks, you know, because at the end of because once it's over, like right now we're dealing with the Saudis and the Russia. Sure, you better have your bankroll saved, man, because you're gonna have to weather the storm over there, you know.
All right, cool. So let's get into it. That just kind of brings everybody up to date to where we're at. So let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
You said basically when you got introduced into the industry, what were you doing prior to getting into the industry?
I was laying asphalt for the county of Fort Worth, which would be Tarrant County. I was laying asphalt, and they made you get your CDL. Well, I only went to that job because I was reading the book Think and Grow Rich. And when I read it, it had me to start. It's a part in there that goes into your imagination. And it said dream big and like put something that you wouldn't believe you can accomplish. And so, you know, I didn't let fear deter my dream or whatever, because the book was so amazing. So I just kind of I put 100 trucks. I wanted to run 100 trucks one day.
Okay. Okay.
Didn't know how I was going to do that.
So you're laying asphalt for someone else at this point. You're working for someone.
The county.
Right?
The
okay.
County.
You're working
yes,
for the
sir.
County.
I'm working
okay.
for somebody. They're actually making me get my CDL.
Okay. So,
and they wanted you to get your B's. But as I'm reading this book, I said, I'm going to get my A's. I told the boss, I said, I'm on my A's. And so I went the extra step to get the A's because I didn't want the B's, because if I was going to put into if I was going to put it into action of what my imagination was telling me at the time, then I needed my class A and I needed to do it. I needed to do everything. So I couldn't be jucking jobbed on. So I did it. So I got my A's. I worked there for '06. I worked there from like 05 to right around at the end of 08. And I mean, I just got tired of that job at one point. And I watched God remove me from the job. Like my old boss was leaving. He was leaving. And then I was I was like, and this new guy was coming in, which he was already my boss, but he was somebody that didn't ever, he wasn't day to day, but I knew we were gonna have problems.
You know, okay. Just, yeah, butt heads automatic from the jump.
Well, just because his practice wasn't like my boss. He was an older man.
Okay.
He had a lot of respect. I respected him a lot, and he basically was the boss. The other guy wasn't really even the boss. He just kind of let him even do everything. So when I knew he was going to retire, I was like, oh, man, my son is sitting here. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. And so I had a janitorial business at that time. And
okay. So you're doing a janitorial business at the same time?
I was working there, and I was doing janitorial.
Okay.
At the time, I had about 10 buildings. I was doing pretty good. I was 20-something years old. I thought I was doing pretty good. And at the time, I was like, well, I'm just going to pursue janitorial. Well, I had my money saved up pretty good, stacked up. But someone was telling me to buy a truck because the thing grew rich. And I didn't. I actually went and failed in the janitorial because I went with what I already was accustomed to. And so the money that I had saved up was about $25,000, and I invested into my janitorial business and flopped.
Like, so why'd you flop? What happened, man?
Someone was saying they can give me more work.
Okay.
And I'm already doing 10 buildings, so I'm like, I'm thinking, man, I can get 50 buildings, you know, in the DFW area. So I always dream big. So, and I was like, I can get 50 buildings in the DFW area. So I went for it. And it turns out they just had their game together, and they just kind of basically just took my money in so many ways.
Really?
Know? Yeah, it was a lot of technicality stuff after I gave them my money and started to pursue the stuff. After time, they just made it harder for me to actually get to this 50 building deal. And okay. I should have went with this other company, which was Janet King. I'm pretty sure you heard of them.
Okay.
I should have went with them, but I went with them because I had to do it my own spirit, you know, and flop like not even 2 months in, you know.
So this deal was basically like one company, like a conglomerate that had a bunch of buildings that were looking to contract with this particular company.
They were basically telling me that I can be like the conglomerate.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I
okay.
bought into the, you know,
I'm you bought be into next, that into
I'm
that
gonna
idea.
Be the next Janet King, you know.
Got you.
Man, got into that thing and realized that it was just, you know, I had more to learn about business at that time. That
okay,
you know, they make it look good, and so I don't do a lot of business. So, like, I'm not gonna give you no money if I don't sit down with you and meet you and discover what we got to offer each other now. So, but it was a learning lesson, and it propelled me to pray more.
Okay.
It propelled me to pray more because I already took an L. It was a hard L. I mean, I wasn't making a lot of money at that time, so I was very, very strong in my savings. And so when I took that L, I was just like, man, I could have bought my truck, you know? But then I was like, what are you going to be doing? You know, you gonna buy a truck. When I thought of 100 trucks, I thought of running drive-in or reefer down the road.
Right.
And driving my truck and running all over the country.
Now, why trucking? What made you think about trucking to begin with?
I mean, just being creative. I wrote down that book, Think Grow Rich, is remarkable. It has you write down like all kind of steps and where you're trying to go. So I had 6 businesses I wanted. So I put all 6 of them down. One of them was janitorial, which I was already doing. I got eyes, so I see trucks all over the country moving.
Okay.
So I know something's going on with that.
Right.
And then the CDL was right there for me to get at that time. So
got you.
Got the CDL.
So in getting your CDL, kind of like said, okay, it makes sense. I got the CDL. I might as well get some trucks.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Might as well, you know, pursue this 100 truck vision that I put out on this paper to do. And so as I pursue that was my first fall, that not betting on myself. That was my first fall. And I have, and throughout the story, you'll hear that I have some more of those not betting on myself. And
okay. I love it.
That betting on myself was my first fall in that. I invested the money. And I just lost, man. It was just, like, horrible. And I was like, Lord, give me one more chance. That's all I kept saying. Lord, give me one more chance to prove, and I'm going to buy me a truck. I mean, is right now it's your shot. So I had knee surgery. So I went out on the job right when my boss was leaving. I just said, man, I'm just going to get my knee fixed because I got insurance. I need to make sure that I'm able to and I had some ligament problems from old football injury. So I was like, okay, let me go ahead and get my knee fixed. So I think God has always had a good way of sitting me down. And so done the knee. It took me like 3 months to recover, 2 or 3 months to recover. I don't really recall how long it took. But I get back out there. I had a cast on one of the braces, and I'm working, you know. And my body ain't ready to go, but I'm out there going. And I knew it was coming to an end. One day I was driving home, and my buddy called me. He was like, hey, man, you want to go to this party tonight? I said, nah, man, I ain't doing nothing, really. I'm not really bothered with nothing like that. I mean, come on, man, get out, man. You ain't been doing nothing. You've been in the house for 3-4 months, you know. You've been trying to work yourself together. And he said, I just feel like you, after you took that L on that janitorial, you just feel, I just don't feel your energy no more, bro.
Just gave up.
Well, I didn't give up. It was just a depression that set in. Because, you know, when you make, sometimes you make bad decisions, man, you can't. It's hard sometimes to wrap your mind around them. But as time grown, I know that's just part of the game. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm riding down the freeway. I get pulled over by the police. I'm like, oh, man, most stuff. I just got back to work, man. I don't know. And I remember telling myself, man, I'm going to go to jail. And it was a brother that pulled me over. So we were he was like, come and get in the car. And so he like, you limping. I said, man, I just my first day back, man. You messing with me. And so he was like, let me search your car. And I was like, why? You know, and he just started messing with me. And I was like, man, go ahead and search the car, man. I just got back to work, man. So he's like, all right. So he's like, I'm going to call laws. I'm going to call the dogs. I was like, dog, man, like this is where we going, right? So I'm like, well, let me call my mama, man, because I just don't see myself going to jail. So I'm like, here it goes, man.
Right.
No problems. You know, as you know, it's like adversity always hits before your breakthrough. That's what I've learned in my journey. And so I'm like, here comes some more adversity. But I forget. Only reason he has me in the car is because I couldn't find my insurance card.
Okay.
And so he's like, here, gave me the ticket and said, get out of my car. So I got the car. And I was like right around the corner from my house. I went home. I said, man, I just made it through something. And when I look back on it, I was like, something was not going to allow me to miss my destiny.
Okay.
Because my buddy called me again. He's like, man, you going to go to this party? I said, no. But I'm going to go. I'm going to go to sleep. Went to sleep. Out of nowhere, woke up and was like, when my wife, now she's my wife at the time, she's my girlfriend. I said, I'm going to go to this party. I don't know what. I woke up out of the blue, man. And that's how I know stuff is destined in life. And I said, I'm going to go to this party. Well, I go to the party, and I run into my friend, longtime buddy. Ain't seen him since graduation. And he was like, what you doing, man? I said, man, I'm working at the county, man. Chilling. What you been up to? Because I ain't seen him. He's one of those that I think he actually got in the fracking business way before. His name is Jimmy Cartwell. Bro, what you got going? He's like, man, you want to make some real money? And I said, what's real money? He said about 6 figures, 70,000, you know. And at that time, I was probably doing like $30,000, $40,000. I wasn't really clean. I mean, with my janitorial and everything, I was doing 6 figures. But it took a lot of work, you know. I was working that job and that job. So I was like, yes, as soon as he said it. And I was like, okay, this is my truck. That's all I thought about. Mm. When I started fracking, that's all I thought about. This is my truck.
Okay.
Like this is God answering that prayer that I already asked for. And so he's like, man, I'm a supervisor. So be in this town and on Monday. He told me Saturday. It's Monday morning, I'm there. Boom. He was like, man. Oh, dog, I didn't know you. I talk to people all the time about this, and they ain't not serious. Right. But in my mind, this is my shot to do everything that I wrote down, and this is my shot to get to this 100-truck vision that I had. So And so we go in, I get the job, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna learn everything I need to know about fracking. So I get in, and I'm really a fast learner in the blue collar stuff because I really like it. My first day, a company man, which is a guy, he sits on the well site, and he runs the whole, he basically directs us what to do. The fracking company, he directs what tells us, like, how much sand, how much chemicals, everything to put down the well. So, and somehow we ran, we caught into each other. He said, he seen my hat. I had a green hat on. That means you knew, you know, they make sure that you know that, that everyone knows you don't have that much experience. So, and then he said, he said something to me that I never forget. He said, man, stay in this place. This will take you places. That's what he said. And I said, all right. And so, and okay. he was totally true, because I stayed in it, and I mean, it's just popped for me, man, after a while, you know, and probably a good seven, 8 years. So my whole thing, when he said that, I was like, I'm on the right path. I'm going to buy me a truck, you know, not really paying attention to the actual stuff that's going on around me. So as I started learning more, they had me filling up gas, filling up all the pumps and stuff. And as I started learning more, I seen that that this was a big business. It was something that, you know, bigger than I could think of, you know, and I kept seeing trucks coming in and out of there, you know. So I was like, okay. And one of the best things for me, my boy, he was the supervisor. So not only did I get in there and I learned, I got to pick his brain and learn more. And then as my work ethic showed, I was able to move up. And that was a blessing in disguise too. So as we continued to frack, and I'm just saving my money, man, just save my money. I'm like, this is my truck. But then I got the money, and I said, what do you need if you make this leap? What do you have? What's gonna kill you? And I said, well, I need to be able to have them. I was gonna buy the truck cash. So I said, I need to be able to pay for an engine. So I stayed longer. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but yeah, so I stayed.
Nah, you good, brother.
We were in West Texas, and he started to, this is about a year into it now. We fracking about, just about a year into it. I became the line boss. I done started, which is somebody that runs everything outside, like, you know, everything, hydration, blenders. I'm hooking up, learning everything, to a point where I start treating. And that's the guy you go inside the data van and you learn, like, how to actually not screen the well out and mess up their operation.
Right.
So I got to that point.
And how old are you at this time?
24.
24.
Yeah, 24. I'm 36 now, 24.
Okay. So okay.
I got to 24, I'm going to be 25. And so I got to the point where I had the money, I learned everything, and my boy started to, like, they started to want to weed him out. And we started to see it firsthand, and I was like, oh, here it comes. He leaves. I already know. Cuz it's not our In the position of power in the oil field, we're not the dominant people that run stuff out there. So, most of the time when you find somebody's doing their thing out there, it's a blessing, and they either know a lot. He knew a lot, but he wasn't leading us like we need to be led. And I was like, man, I was telling my boy, because I had pulled some people with me, like, I brought people from Tarrant County owns a frack. I was just, every time I was out there, I was like, man, y'all come get this money. It's serious. It's real. We making a lot. I brought a lot of people with me. And then he's on his way out. And I'm like, I'm not going to make it too long. It was another feeling of the Tarrant County thing, right?
Right, right.
I feel like I was pushing. Here go another push. Well, hurt myself again. And so caught a hernia, okay, picking up something. He set me down again. And I'm at home, and I'm back to that pen and paper on this Think and Grow Rich now.
Okay.
Well, this time, before I hurt myself, I done been able to grow in the ranks. So I'm seeing these trucks running in and out of here. I'm talking about 5 times a day. You know, I'm like, got to be making money. I don't know what they doing, but they got to be making real money, because you've been here 5 times. You're able to do that in 10 hour, 11 hour period, man. You've touched some real money. And so I said, let me find out. Let me go to the office. Since I know the people and I done work my way up to this status, I can find out how much these people are making. And then we had a bad crew where we was breaking down all the time, our equipment. We had a good crew, but equipment was not up to par. And so these guys would just sit out there on the well. And I was like, they're just sitting there. And they happy. Like, you don't just sit in the desert smiling and cooking and barbecuing. So that's what they doing.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I got to figure this out. This is, I don't know trucking. I don't know dry van. I don't know reefer. This is all I see in trucking right here.
Right.
So I got that Thinking Real Go Rich book right by my side at this point now, because I'm just reading. Because we do a lot of driving to location and from location. So I read every morning and I'm studying and stuff. And I'm like, okay, let me figure all this out. So let me figure the details out. I got the truck. I got my money for my truck. I got my maintenance if something go wrong. Let me figure this out. So I go into the office and I say, hey, let me see them tickets that them guys are printing up. Let me see what's going on. You know, I go to the counter and she shows me and it blows my mind. Like, if they doing this, I'm finna be a millionaire quick. That's what my mind's saying. Like, they're doing this, I'm finna skyrocket, man. This is crazy. Like, trucks are doing numbers that I never even thought can even be imaginable, you know? And these guys are sitting, I see why they sitting out here laughing. They making over $150 an hour sitting out here, you know? I'm like, this is what I'm finna do. So I get hurt. I go home for 3 months. I buy a truck. I sit the truck. And then I was like, okay, so what's this thing they got on the truck? It's a blower. It blows the sand out of the pneumatic. So I said, I gotta get one of those. So I buy one of those. I get back to work and everything done changed, man. Because the oil fields, the turnover rate is so big that I'm not even in my position no more. I'm back green hat almost, you know, brand new, you know, because everybody now is new people. You know, new supervisors. It's only been 3 months, but that's how the turnover rate is. So I'm like, okay, how long is this going to work? So I said, Lord, give me a sign. When it's time for me to leave, I'm gone.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing at this point. Like, but I'm trusting him that when it's time to go, I'm going to go ahead and jump out there on faith. I got the truck. I got the blower on there. It's sitting. It's just sitting. Been sitting for 2 months. 3 months, I'm hurt. My faith and my vision is strong as ever at this point because I've had so much isolation. I think isolation is very key to success. A lot of people might not agree with me, but I see guys go in jail and come out and be super successful just on getting their mind right, isolating themselves. And I didn't have to go to pen or jail. So he blessed me to be hurt twice to isolate my thoughts, you know. And when you're young, man, you got so much going on. You're running around. You're trying to do so much that actually was a blessing, because stillness will bring victory in certain cases. So I'm like, okay, got what I need to do. So I'm back at work. I'm working, and I don't like it at all at this point. And I'm like, man, I want to put somebody in my truck because I'm thinking security, you know. That's. And then I said, how you going to have a 100-truck vision and you don't even know how to drive a truck? At this point, I still don't even know how to drive a truck. I got a truck, don't know how to drive it.
Okay.
Like, how you going to have a 100-truck vision and you can't drive it? I said, so how you think these other people are going to let you get out here and run 100 trucks and you ain't know what you're doing? You know, so I said, I gotta go do it so I know what's going on. I already know what's going on out here in the frack site. You can't miss me on there. I can see it right now with my eyes closed. Right now with talking to you, I know what's going on just because of the experience. And so I'm like, but if you don't know what's going on hauling that sand, blowing that load off. You don't know none of that. So I said, man, you can't take it if you don't take the first step. You know, that's what I'm telling myself. And so we get, oil field always has it up and down. So the down comes. It was a small down, I think like in 12 or no, 11. Well, no. Yeah, about 11. I think 10 or 11 where it slowed up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, 10. So they start tripping. They start like, they took our per diems and the stuff that we used to get, the perks we used to get. And they got us on a time card. So, and like I remind you, I was a supervisor at one point. I got hurt. Now I'm nothing. I'm just back old green hat almost. You know, I'm just a good hand to go out there and work and know everything. And so I'm going in one day and I'm about 2 or 3 minutes late, you know. And my boss is behind me. So we both late, right?
Okay.
So boom, I was like, I'm good. He like, I'm good. So boom, about 2 hours later, they called me in the office. Hey, we're going to go and write you up. I said, what you writing me up for? He said, you was late. And it's him and the GM at this time. I said, you were late too, dog.
Right.
I said, so you my boss. So you going to write me up, but you were late too? And he said, yeah, man, you just got to, I mean, just sign it, man. We just going. I said, no, I ain't signing that. This is my sign right here. I said, no, I ain't signing that, man. And he was like, what you mean? I said, I'm going to go ahead and leave. Today be my last day, man. I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here. And they were like, huh? I was like, yeah, man. I said, man, y'all ain't leading by example. I'm just going to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's just straight up. I said, I'm going to go ahead and leave. And he was like, well, can you just sign it? Because it was with neighbors at that time. He's like, can you just sign it? Because you won't be able to work for us no more. I said, man, I'm not coming back. And that was because my faith was that strong at that point.
Yeah.
I asked him for a sign, and that was my sign right there. Mm. It was time to go. And they were like,
powerful.
Can you just wait to the end of the day to leave? See, now they ain't negotiating with me.
Right. The table's been turned around now.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, I can wait to the end of the day. So I walk out of the office. I didn't sign it. I'm not signing it. I'm not signing it, man. And so everybody's like, man, so they wrote you up? I was like, yeah, bro, I ain't signing, bro. This is my last day. They were like, whoa. I said, yeah, bro, I got a truck at the house right now. I just found a trailer. I'm about to go. I'm about to go, bro. I don't have time for this. And so I get the end of the day come, everybody like, bro, you really finna get up out of here? I said, I am gone. So I get on the freeway, and Midland's about 4.5 hours from my house, from Texas, everything's far. And so I'm 4.5 hours away, and I'm driving. I haven't drove this car home in like a year, man, but it's because I've been flying back and forth. And so I'm driving, and I get in the car, and I just start crying, man. I just broke down. Like, I felt so free, and I to go take it, man. I just feel like I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
And I'm riding, man. And boom, my tire bust in the middle of nowhere. And this is where I knew I was on the road to great. He had me. He was protecting me. God was protecting me because the tire buses, it could have bust anywhere else. It busts in the middle of nowhere, one exit town. I get off, go under the bridge, go to the gas station. Hey, do y'all have any tires around here? She pointed next door. The dude, so I limped the truck up, limped my car over there, my Expedition over there. And I asked her, hey, you got any tires? I mean, this town. And he said, let me check. I got one. He got one. Right. Put the tire on, man. I get back in the car. I drive for about 2 hours. Nothing's there, dog. Nothing. So I'm crying again because now I know I'm on the right path.
Right.
Like, there's certain things that nobody can tell you. You have to see it and find it, and you have to see God do it for itself. And it's little things in the beginning. Like, I already done stretched out on faith and told him I'm done. This is my last day.
Right.
Then an adverse situation in my going home. He put some adversity there, but he showed me in the same time I'm going to protect you. And that was the beauty of it. Like, that let me know I'm on the way to do something great. So I'm still on the hunting truck thing, man. I'm like, do this. Ain't nothing going to stop me. Well, the people I already signed up for, I got over there the first day. It's a company called Tuttle and Tuttle. I got over there the first day to drive for them. Guy, redneck guy come out. I was like, uh-oh. I could just see it in his what's the name, that he wasn't going to go for it. So he's like, yeah, all right, go ahead and drive. And let me let you know, I didn't know how to drive. Now, let's go back to, I don't even know how to drive a truck. I got a title and everything. I still don't know how to drive.
Right.
So I get in there, trying to shift the gears. I've been shifting gears and for the last couple years, I had a dude named Dominic. He was teaching me how to do it in the oil field. And so I'm like, I'm shooting. He's like, nah, we're not going to use you. And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, we're not going to use you. You don't know what you're doing. And which he was right. I did that. So I said, okay, well, all right. I'm going to, I'm walking in to the shop with him, to the human resource, to talk to the lady, because I'm not going to be used. Man, this dude, he basically pushes me out and shuts the door. Hmm. I smiled. I said, this ain't my spot. I was like, yes, right. This ain't my spot.
Right.
I'm going to go to PA. That's what I said. I'm going to go ahead and go to PA because I heard they were getting crazy money up there. I already had two jobs set up. And so the dude lost his contract the next day. I'm like, oh, man, I done quit. it's Christmas time. It's December now.
Gosh,
my wife at the time looking at me now like, what are you doing? Like, you just walked off your job. Two of the jobs didn't go through. Now right. You got a truck sitting over here. The beauty of that truck sitting was it was paid off, and that was the beauty of me not going, like me not losing my faith. And,
okay.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to find my way. And so it was another company hiring. And it's beautiful that they hired me because I met some people that are still in my life. I met my mentor. I met everybody that I met my banker going to this company, you know? So it was just a perfect, it was like he was just denying me because he was trying to get me to my vision of what I asked for already.
Right.
And he's still doing that today, but it was remarkable to look back on and see like, boom, boom, boom. No, I ain't gonna let that happen. I'm gonna let this happen. So yeah, didn't have no mentor at the time. Started, didn't know nothing. They put me on with two guys and they're still my dudes today. You know, they trained me and I was, you know, I was thinking, man, I ain't gonna tell them this is my truck. I'm 25 years old, and these guys, one of them, he owned three of them at the time. He was like, yeah, you need to get you a truck. And I came in like this, I'm on operate. I mean, I'm driving somebody because I didn't want the stuff that our people usually give off when somebody's doing something better or not even better, just doing something out the norm. You know, I just kind of didn't want the hate, you know. So as I went through this, I was I met my mentor by like meeting my dude Quincy. I met my mentor, and my mentor was named Callie. He was very, very instrumental in my life. When I met him, I grew up with I'm the oldest of four, single parent mother. I didn't have a father figure at all in my life. My mother's very hardworking. Woman, and she still does that to this day. She actually works in my organization, so it's a beautiful thing to see her with me now. But that was all I wanted to do, is take care of my mother. So but they say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That's like, you don't have to ask for the teacher. When the universe, when God knows you're ready, boom, they coming. And that's what this dude did. He pushed me. Cause I used to say vague stuff like, man, I'm a run the oil field one day. How you gonna run the oil field? Go right off on me. How you gonna? You ain't got no own authority. You over here driving for them. How you gonna do that? Right. And so he kept pushing me. So I got my own authority. You know, just off of me talking noise and him telling me, you ain't ready for that, you know. Right. So it was somebody that was there that you don't always find somebody that has genuine love for you when you meet them and they're you're not their son or nobody, but they take a liking to you. So this is a real special person, you know. So he kept pushing me to stay diverse and stay at it, you know. And so that was a big part of, he's been a big part of my life. He actually passed last year. Mm. And it was, he actually passed on a motorcycle. And it was actually crazy how he lives in Cali. We met up here, but like he left the oil field the last 4 or 5 years. And some told me to go visit with him. Mm. He died like a week later. It was crazy.
Wow. You know?
So. Wow. But he gave me them last gems, man, that I'm pursuing right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so long story short, with him, he trained me. He allowed me to grow. He got out the oil field and sold me his trailer. And then I stayed in it because I was looking around and I'm like salt. And a sea full of I'm pepper and a sea full of salt, you know, and I'm young. Like these dudes are 50, 60 years old. And I'm like, I'm gonna outlast them. I'm gonna outlast them because they're on their way out. If I stay in this, if I learn it, I'll be able to actually run it one day.
Right.
You know? Right. And I did that. We learned it. I started growing, then I started learning the hiccups of having drivers and maintenance. My first three trucks were my worst three trucks. I picked bad trucks. And I know you have people on here that don't even buy trucks. And I think that's a good model. I've been listening to you on your podcast. But my first three trucks whooped my butt. And I feel like I stopped picking them after a while. I just said, I'm going to take mechanics with me.
Right.
Because I was just, I look good. Nice truck. A bomb, man. It's like blowing up on me down the road, like left and right. So
right.
That's a lot of adversity that I, in the early years ran through.
Man, that story is inspirational. There's so many jewels, so many gems in there. All right. So right now where we're at in the story is, You started basically your operation now. Your mentor kind of set you up. He told you need to get your own authority. You did that. So you said you bought your first three trucks. So tell me about the growth of your operation, kind of how it progressed from the one truck you had when you first started to getting the two to three. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I grabbed the one. I blew the engine in 2 months. My first 2 months in the oil field, I blew my engine. First two months even having a truck. I think the engine was on the way out. So I had the money though. That was the thing before I prepared myself before I actually left the actual frac site to have the engine money.
Okay. You know? Before you quit your job.
Yeah.
The initial job that you walked off on.
Yes, sir. I made sure I had that engine money because that was like that's the only thing that I felt like if it blew or something went wrong, they was gonna take me out the game, and then I didn't want no truck note because I didn't know what I was going into, and I didn't want to be dealing with. I didn't want nothing early to stop me from getting to my second, third, fourth truck, you know. And my whole game was if this engine don't blow in 3-4 months, I'm gonna double up because I got them truck money, I got the money. So if I got a good truck, I'm gonna go ahead and double up. But that didn't happen for me. Blew the engine. Wife sitting at me, looking at me like, oh man, here we go. You done blew your engine. Now you're dealing with this. And she's, that was another thing. I was like, man, this entrepreneur stuff, hold up, man. I blew the engine, you know. And I always, in the back of my mind, was like, man, I can go back to frac if this doesn't work. So, I'll get another truck and come back. That's all. Right. Because I had the blueprint to how to go make some good money, pay a truck off, and come on back, you know?
Right.
So that was a good thing that I always kept a plan. in my head on if I'm going left or am I going right. I bought the first truck after it got ready. Callie was getting out of the oil field. My mentor was getting out of the oil field. He was like, and at that time, the trailers were so, pneumatic trailers were so hard to find. And he was like, you want to buy my trailer? And I was like, yes, because that's the only way I'm going to second truck. I got one unit, I'm going to the next unit. So, and he always told me the money's in the trailers. It ain't in the truck. He's always told me that. That was a gem he always dropped on me. And today, I probably got 30 trailers just because of what he's saying. You know, the money's in the truck, in the trailer, not in the truck.
Right.
And so he kept that in my mind. The money's in the trailers, it's not in the trucks. It's always been in the trailers. And he always told me, when that oil field go down, if you got trailers, you got life. And so mentally, I kept that in my head. So, but when he got out of it, I was like, oh, I'm going. Because he was again, one of those 50-something, 60-year-old guys that was, if I just say, just live a little life. I ain't got time for all this.
No. Right.
Because it's up and down business. Fracking in the oil field is up and down business. You have so many stuff that can stop the money. Saudi Arabia can just, like right now, they're pumping crazy. And Russia having a war that's got the U.S. and the corona. It has everything upside down right now, just in that space right now.
Got you. Could you give us a little bit of a look into the financials, that go into it, like the rates per mile, like the industry standards pretty much with fracking?
Yeah, I can give you that. The first, I can give you old rates, and I can give you where it's come up. I can give you my old school rates.
Yeah, for sure.
When I first started, man, we were doing like 100-mile run was like $800-$900. You know, so you do two of them, man. you sitting mean at the end of the week, you know.
Okay.
And then it was like $75 to $100 an hour. So you getting out there, you sitting there, you're making like $10,000 or better, you know, in a week.
Okay.
In a week's time. So for you to double up, grow your profit, and then you probably spent $1,300 in fuel and probably only drove 3,000 miles, you know.
Wow.
Probably ran 15, 16 loads. You see what I'm saying?
Right. So
it's a hustler game. It was in the beginning, and it was wide open, you know. Especially the older guys just get mad because I used to be out there, man, on Herbalife, all kind of stuff, man.
right.
Yeah, competing, man, like I'm in football gear, you know.
Right. So you're saying it's basically like for detention, you're getting paid that per detention. Hour.
Yeah.
And then the mileage, you said, what would you say? What'd you say the mileage was again?
When we first started, it was about $800.
Okay. 100-mile run.
Yeah, 100-mile run. 50 miles was like $675, you know. And so they allocated based on where the sand facilities are at. And so you run back and forth from the sand facility getting sand and blowing off into a can.
Mm.
It's created a lot of millionaires. It's created a lot of problems. It's made a lot of people broke too. Because what it does, it goes up, it'll come back down with no warning, you know.
Right.
I've been a part of both of them. I've been part of the go up, and I've been part of the comeback down with no warning. So, and I think we're living another comeback down with no warning right now.
Got you. Talk about the growth of your company, man. I mean, because you expanded your company to a pretty large fleet. Talk to the audience about that.
Well, okay, so I'll go from when my brother started, after I started learning the game, I got 3-4 trucks. We said, man, let's start putting on opera. I said, bro, I need to find a contract. So I didn't find a contract till like 2014. 2014, it got real busy. That 100-mile band was $1,000 at that time. Which was, I guess it was just new technology. They were doing stuff different, but it was land of milk and honey at that time. Where that $10,000 load, I mean, a $10,000 week turned into a $16,000 week. I mean, these numbers was like, I was like, bro, I feel like I didn't have to go to school. All I had to do was get a CDL and I'm doing crazy numbers. So I went up north to, Ohio, PA area because Texas was getting too crowded. And then they were giving out $2,000 day rates, like just go up there and sit, and you're going to make $14,000 a week. Mm. You know, it was crazy. I took three trucks up there, me and two other buddies, and we went up there, and I rode it out for about 3 months. And I'm Texas, man, all flat, you know. So I told myself before I left, Lord, if you give me a sign, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be up here about to fall off a mountain. Because what we did, like, versus what you see in the PA area, they blasting the whole mountain, the whole side of a mountain. And then that clay that's on that mountain, you riding around the mountain, going up and down it. I mean, nothing on the side. You make a wrong move, you gone. Right. Goodbye. You know, straight up. You're gonna jump out that thing. Mm. So I told the Lord, give me a chance, give me a sign where I need to go, where I need to get my butt out of here. So I'm up there for 3 or 4 months. It's raining one day, and I almost slid off the mountain. So this is my last load. I blew that mud off. I got my butt back to Texas. But in that, I was already looking for contracts and stuff, you know. And then so the guy that they put me in the oil field called me while I was up there. He was like, man, what you doing? I said, I'm running sand, bro. You know, I got like three trucks. He was like, man, I'm trying to do something different. I said, man, only way I'm getting out this truck if you getting in it. And so he was like, yeah, man, I need to make it happen. So I said, all right, well, I'll be out there this week. Well, and I didn't say that. I said, all right, well, I'll let you know. But then I almost ran off the mountain. And that was it ended up becoming right. That week.
So gotcha, like, gotcha.
And I got home. I got a contract. And then in like 3 months, we had like 20 units with owner operators, though. It wasn't ours. We had about we grew to six in that time period. I had got three more trucks. And boom, 14 goes to nothing. I mean, I made a lot of money with them 15 units. I mean, 20 units in that day. We were making, I got home, man, got my own contract, and I'm still going 14, 15,000 a week. Just crazy numbers.
How'd you connect with the owner operators?
How did I connect with them? Mm-hmm. Just word of mouth and knowing people through the journey.
Okay.
And then at that time, I was small. I was about 30 at that time, and I knew a couple guys. They didn't have no deals, so we took them on, and we ran. And
okay.
Then 15, it crashed again. Saudi decided that we were doing too much in the U.S. and they wanted to fight for market share, so they raised their output up, which is like they went from doing 9 million barrels a day. That means they're pumping. That means they're the pump jacks are actually producing 9 million barrels of oil a day. They went from 9 to 12. They just turned it up on us. Well, when they do that, it drives price down in the stock market. And at that time when we were going, oil was at $120. And I'm pretty sure every regular American felt the gas pumps at that time. When we were making this much money, it was killing the regular American. It wasn't right, you know. But we had pre-war stuff with Bush and I think Obama was still fighting with who was that? Syria, I believe, at the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So when it fell, it killed all off. Saudi has a way of letting us do what we want to do for a little bit, and then just dropping the hammer on. And if you're not prepared for that financially, you're gonna take a You'll lose it all, man. You'll lose right. it all overnight. Right. Just like you got it, you'll lose it all overnight because
okay.
it's basically like going to Vegas. That's what I would consider the oil field is. It's a gamble. My brother say it's the reason we diversified now. There's no way to run a trucking company because the numbers can be super great one day and they can be gone the next. Mm. So we diversified and kept our portfolio strong. Now that's why we're still in the game to this day.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So you basically grew to what? What was the number you guys grew to when you
I got to 20 in 15? It
okay.
crushed. It fell. I didn't know nothing else but oil field in 2015, and I reached. I had a buddy that was instrumental in helping me get into the flatbed, and he just knew it. So I jumped in the flatbeds. I bought a whole bunch of them, about like four of them in to a couple months, because I was just like, man, I got to do something. I don't want to lose. And what it did for me, though, I got those flatbeds. I got over the road, ran them back and forth, had all kinds of problems. Like 15 and 16 were probably my worst years. And the reason was I took trucks that were supposed to be road trucks and I put them in the oil field. Well, man, I blew every engine I had in that 2-year period. And it was just hard, man. I was like, oh, man, I'm not going, man. This is what it's about, you know? And this is before we even got to actually start running some stuff out there. And it was another adversity that I didn't know I was facing, you know?
Okay.
Blew a lot of engines. Made it through, though. 16 come around. Donald Trump is going to be the president, and I know it's time to go. Like, I know it. I know he's going to be the president, which is good for the oil field. Republican is primarily what you want to have. I'm not that I'm for that, but it's primarily what you want to have in the oil sector. So when it blew, I got with my buddy, and we hurried up and got out there early. That's what I was telling. I said, we got to get out there early. So we put our resources together. We jumped out there. First year, 17, we grew to 46 trucks. We didn't have no well, though. And as I was going into it, I was like, man, we need to get a well. We need our own well, our own contract, where we were just like help other companies on the well, and we were on the well. Okay. And it was hard to break that. We got one of the best companies in 17, and we were strong. Had good people, good quality, but again, you're in Texas, and it's not your land in Texas. Get the city, stay in the city. We out here, this redneck world, and that's how it was. In the grand scheme of things, they wasn't like, even though we were putting up the good numbers, this company actually got rid of us, you know. And with me, I was always out there on the pad, making sure my guys did what they needed to do before they actually, you know, got rid of us. And so, but it was also, I seen it coming because I understand how they move. And I was like, I was telling my team, I was like, hey, bro, they finna get rid of us. And I was like, why are you saying this? We've been on a well for 4 months, running, man, making good money. Our insurance will not let us grow no more, which was a good thing because we didn't know we was gonna lose the deal. So I'm like, man, I gotta find something else. I'm starting running around Texas like crazy, man. Looking for work. And I found somewhere. Right when they were pushing us out, God allowed us to find something else. Mm. Well, we get there, and the company out there that's running the thing, the dude didn't know nothing about fracking. I was trying to help him at one point, and I said, shut up. Don't tell me shut up because, you know, they think they know it all. You just let them know it all, you know. So someone told me, shut up, man, you know. I mean, you might be talking yourself out of your blessing. He say he know what he's doing.
Right.
Man, Christmas come. It's us and him on the well. Mind you, fracking, it's no holiday. About none of that. They don't care about your child's birthday. They don't care about this corona going on.
Right.
If the market's up, they making this money to be made. And so the well goes down Christmas Eve. Oh, no, this ain't no good. Because you can't control no driver, man. I'm going to tell you that right now. Like, when he want to go see his – when it comes to his wife and you, he going to pick his wife.
Mm.
And this, you know, guy, family, then hustle. So he going to pick his wife. So he's not going to let you dictate that. So I had, like, 15 trucks on that well at that time because we wasn't primary. It was three other companies on there. And so – my dispatcher called me. I'll never forget. I was in a hotel. She called me. She said, I just talked to, what's the guy's name? I think it was Alex. I just talked to Alex, and he said that they're going to be down for 2 days. And I said, what's going on? And she said, they're flowing back. And that's because you know what a plunger is. So basically, you know, when your toilet gets stopped up, that happens to the well.
Okay.
If you have too much pressure and you allow, so if you apply the sand too fast, and you don't bring that pressure to a certain point, you'll screen the whole well out where it just all get clogged up. Mm. They did that. And so you have to flow it back to a tank and get all that sand. So everything you just did for that stage, which is a stage, is a zone. Everything you just did for that zone, you got to get it out, unplug it, and then come back in it, which is the supervisor in the data van. That's his fault because he didn't pull the sand before it's the pressure started rising. Like, you can see it in the scale. It'll go from like 3,500, it'll just jump to 5,000, screen out. Everything's
okay.
Dead.
Okay.
Well, now you got to unlock it. Well, he's telling me, oh, it's going to be 2 days. But I've been out here. So I'm listening to him. I'm like, okay.
Right.
I actually tried to tell him. I said, no, man, I've been doing this for a while, and it might not take. And I stopped. I just said, shut up.
Right.
I called my dispatch. I said, hey, how many trucks do we have? She said, we have 8. I said, where do those guys go? She said, they've been sitting all day. So they went home. I said, listen. Tell those 8 guys that I don't care what they do, do not go home. I'm giving bonuses out. I'm doing whatever we got to do to stay on this well. She was like, but his name was Arthur, not Alex. Arthur said that the well screened out. I said, who are you going to listen to, me or Arthur? So I told her, I said, I've been doing this. Arthur don't know what he's talking about.
Right.
I guarantee you Arthur don't know what he's talking about.
Right.
She was like, okay. I said, tell him I'm going to give him a bonus. Just loud and tell him to stay. And this, we got about 46 trucks at this time. Tell them to stay. I'm gonna give them a bonus. This is 17. This is in the December 17 going to 18.
Okay.
And so I'm like, tell them don't stay. So I go to sleep about 3 a.m. She called me. Hey, the wheel's up. They run out of sand. And y'all the only people out there.
There you go.
Y'all the only people out there. Keep them going. Y'all them eight trucks is the only trucks they have.
Look at that.
Companies. They the only ones out there. So you know my strategy. Next thing you know, Monday come, I am at the office. Boom.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm there. Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah.
Cause I know running out of sand is like the work. You basically lost your deal because the downtime, I'm talking about these fracking people, these oil companies are charging like $20,000 an hour.
For their downtime.
It's called MPT.
Yeah.
Non-production time. They're charging like $20 an hour. So if you made it happen and you'll carry a contractor, they're gonna get rid of you.
Yeah.
It's you're talking about if you run out of sand, it's 48 loads in the silos, in 6 silos. And it takes a truck an hour to put to fill to just get his one load off. Hour and a half. So it's gonna take him a day or so or two
right.
Even get the silos filled to get back to normal operations.
Right.
Cause they can't just say, okay, you fill up one silo, we're gonna drop that right now, and then we're gonna sit again. It's a never catching up thing. Unless you just chuck a whole bunch of trucks at it.
Right.
Well, so as they go into that, we're just eight units running. That's it. And so I'm there Monday morning, like, hey man, I can do this better than this guy. You know, I gave him my brochure and everything, showed him where I'm from, where I come from, and how I've been fracking for this long time, and then I talk the talk. Like, I walk into a frack facility, and they know I'm from there. They know we can. They know we share the same knowledge and background because I'm asking questions.
Right.
Like a regular guy just coming there. They gonna know he don't know what he's talking about because he can't get in at the level of in depth that I'm gonna go in there and say. I'm not even going to talk about can I haul for you? I'm going to talk about the jobs and how are we going to do them and with this and that and all that. And they're like, okay, this dude know what he's doing.
Right.
Well, they give us the work. So we, 17, we had 46 trucks, December. January 31st, we had 76 trucks. Mm. 30 days, we put a truck on a day. And we had a big contract with BHP. We put a, which was a year and a half. So we had 70 trucks. I'm out there running the well. I'm sand coordinating the well. I'm showing these people that I'm not just somebody that's, I'm not just about, I'm gonna go out here and lead by example. So I went out there and I took, that's how we grabbed the wheel, because I was out there running the whole show out there. And so it's, and they made me, so they didn't trust me at that time. So they made me put other companies out there. And so as I got other companies out there, I know how they play too. They'll try to run you out of sand. It's just how the game goes.
Right, right.
So it's you have to have somebody that understands all the ins and outs of the war you're fighting with. And by being a minority, this is a shot that we don't always get. I mean, I'm probably, if there's been somebody else that got these shots, it's very seldom that you see us out here running and controlling. It's either Hispanics or Anglo-Saxons. So that was the kick. Like, I was like, okay, this, we finna do something. I mean, it's very seldom you see a minority company with 70 something trucks in the oil field.
Right.
And actually running the wells. And so we got the well, we rolling it, 77 trucks, January 31st. I'm like, God is really for the, I mean, this is 18 to 08. So
yeah.
I'm finna really get this 100 truck vision.
The 100 truck vision. Yes.
And I'm like, wow. Like, so as I'm going through this, and it wouldn't come alive without my team. We had a strong team, where it was for us, and we all were able to grab certain keys, you know, finance, safety, and trucking. I mean, and recruiting. We were able to be strong enough to grab. All of us had something strong to bring to the table. So, by I think at the end of 18, we had 180 trucks. We had 100. So, and God's always been one of those people where you tell him your dream, he'll outdo you. That's mm-hmm. what I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. You tell him the dream. It might not come when you want it to come, but if you stay faithful, you stay working hard, you stay believing, it'll happen. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% on that now, because he's shown me so much in the journey that if you just stay at it, man. And so, we running, we rolling, man. We had 180 trucks. Biggest at that time, I'm talking about, we had them mad, man.
I know,
man. Like, unbelievably mad, because you're talking about, that's all they seeing. Because at that point, where our network is big, we got football players, all kind of people on our team buying trucks and all kind of stuff, man. It was a beautiful experience to actually live that. So we ran it all the way up, man, and I think we ran hard to about 19, into 19, and then we partnership just decided to go. It went in separate ways because of the downturn in the market, you know, and some of the partners was new to it, so they didn't understand all the hold it and fold it and keep it and hold it back. So that was they ended up being they ended up breaking the team up, you know, but which was disappointing, because we put a lot into it, and I wish we was able to keep that going, but differences in, you know, what was going on in our team,
right?
This wasn't something we could come back from. So, and that bridged me to where I'm at now. We about I got 25 on there running pneumatics. Just doing straight sand, and then we have about another 10 that we do with cement and fly ash and potash, and then we keep two trucks on the back pneumatic side.
Okay.
So, and now, since the oil field just tanked again, I had literally, if I talked to you in January, I had about 80 trucks. Mm-hmm. I'm 40. So right. I've been having to make some hard cuts, you know. People have been with me 3 years, you know. I've had to tell them, hey, man, I have to let you go. So that's been the hardest thing for me thus far right now, is letting good people go.
Right, right, right. Man, your story, man, it's phenomenal. I'm just sitting here like listening, you know, just from the beginning, how you just really literally came from blue collar, you know, working with your hands, and you learned the industry inside and out, and you took that and you applied it and you built something for yourself. Which is like, that's what it's about, man. I mean, a lot of people are out here working 9 to 5s, but take what you're learning. You know, don't just go there and just do the job. Learn the job, you know, and create an opportunity for yourself. And you were able to build something phenomenal, man. What are some of the biggest lessons, if you could say, let's say the biggest lesson you learned just in as an entrepreneur throughout your journey in the last 12 years? What's the thing that if now you're somebody's mentor, you know, like you had your mentor, what are you telling someone who's young and trying to come up in the industry? Not even if it's trucking, just entrepreneurship, period. What do you share with them?
I would say don't waver in your faith. You know, I would say that's the main thing, because you're gonna have obstacles. You're gonna have ups and downs. Stuff gonna come out of nowhere. Like this society, you can't control that. Like you can't control what the world does and what the corona does, but you don't waver in your faith and see it through, you know. Actually see it through. Like you get knocked down, get back up, you know. Don't allow yourself to stay down. That's one thing you can't do. And that's one thing the strong don't do. They don't do that. They find a way. Like it fell, oil was at $50 in February. It's like 20, it's gonna go into the teens,
right?
Monday or Wednesday, before Wednesday, I believe it's gonna be in the teens. And I told my brother, I'm gonna do everything but fold.
There you go.
So what I did, I grabbed me a reefer trailer this week. And I grabbed me a car hauler. So I said, I'm gonna do everything before. We're not really, we've seen it too many times. We've seen it, and that's a good thing about like being an entrepreneur. You build your, it's like a muscle you build. Like if you was a bodybuilder, it's a muscle of faith you're building, though. Ups and downs, to a point where certain things don't even bother you no more. Like trucks breaking down don't bother me no more. Mm. It used to be like the end of the world.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Blowing the engine don't bother me no more, because now I got a full staff and I have a shop. So that doesn't bother me no more, because I got people that are going to help me continue to allow my dream to flourish.
Mm.
You know, so certain stuff that used to bother me, like I got guys calling me right now, man, I just blew a turbo. I blew 6 of them in the last 3 months. So, I mean, it's just part of it. You have to be able to see through it.
Right.
You have to keep that vision strong, man. I would say don't let outside noise stop you from your vision, because that's one of the things that's caused me to not be even farther than I wanted to be, you know, because I allowed what others thought or what I thought was right at the time, you know. I say write it down and keep your word in what you wrote.
Mm.
And even it take you 10 years to, it took me 10 years and to do 100 trucks. But it also, he also beat that and put 80 more on the side of that. So he outdid the vision. And that's right. What God does. He'll outdo your vision, man. You just got to be faithful.
Mm.
And know you're going to go through some ups and downs with big dreams. I don't think you dream big without fighting some kind of adversity, some kind of outside bad energy coming towards you, some kind of haters and naysayers. I don't think you dream big and you achieve the goals that you want in life without that force. I think it comes with the territory.
Got you. What's next for you, man? I mean, you've done the trucking thing. I mean, obviously, I know you're going to continue to grow your business, but you know, what's your 5-year plan? What do you see happening for Racer, for yourself as an entrepreneur in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
3 to 5 years. I'm starting to see more, like I wasn't a social media guy, and I'm starting to see like your podcast, and I seen the Alex Good Energy guy, shout out to him, that y'all are doing is remarkable, bro. And
thank you.
What I want to do is be a mentor to kids to dream. That's one of my biggest things I want to do now, and just keep pushing the brand forward with diversifying. Heavy hauling, that's what we're looking to get into. Anything outside of the oil field, you know.
Okay.
As I grow, I don't want to stay one dimensional, because I feel like that's a box again. So then you put your own vision and dream inside of a, like, now you work for it if you do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
and it's kind of hard to, and now that I'm seeing that social media is beautiful, like where I can just reach out to you and you hit me up and I hit you back and you got some good stuff going. I got some good stuff doing. So
fact.
this year has been my year of networking. That's what I told myself. I said, and I got challenged by one of my buddies. His name is Terrence. Terrence Wills. He challenged me. He was like, he was seeing you guys for like months and he started shooting me and DMing me and y'all your stuff. And I was like, okay, that's what's up, man. This is some, we are actually like, I love seeing minorities. We doing what we doing, you know,
that's
like,
a fact.
I believe we the generation of change, and I mm-hmm. believe we're going to change for in the next generation. The young ones, they the most, I believe they're the most fierce group of blacks and minorities that's ever hit the land, because we're going to give them that Black Wall Street blueprint. I feel mm-hmm. like we're the generation that will give them that super fearlessness. Like my nephew and my nephews and my daughters, they go to my shop. I tell them about trucking. They see this stuff and they 5 years old, you know?
Right.
So I'm trying to push them to understand that, hey, this is going to be ours one day, you know? So as long as I can continue to do that and inspire people to dream, man, because I'm literally just a cat with a high school diploma, but I did all the white collar stuff, you know. I've lived a dream, you know. I have, and it's been beautiful. I mean, my network of friends is you wouldn't even think I'm blue collar, you know. Just in just because of what I always say this: dreams will outshine a Harvard degree.
Mm.
No, I always say faith will outshine a Harvard degree.
Mm.
Only if you believe, you know.
There you go.
Like, so if you believe, you can. The people from Harvard could work for you, man.
There you go.
If you believe,
you
they can work for you, you know. Wow. And that can be true in anything we do out here, you know. So my next 3 to 5 years is just trying to develop my craft stronger, develop my network stronger, so that I don't become a person in the box. Like I think I told you when we first talked, I've been the smartest guy in the room. I don't want to do that no more in life. that's not something I'm into.
Right.
Because what that does, it caps you off. Now everybody's it allows you to you if we win, everybody happy. We start losing, everybody looking at you. It's too much pressure when you're the smartest in the room.
Mm.
And I never understood find another room. When somebody said you're smartest in the room, find another room.
Right.
So I had to go through that right there. And because they're gonna do you just like Jesus. They're gonna love you, and then they're gonna put you on the cross.
No doubt.
Because it's all gonna be because you're the smartest in the room. I mean, and so me networking is a humbling thing, because it's telling myself that you're not the smartest in the room. You don't want to be the smartest in the room, and this pushes me to be all I can be versus staying in my little bubble.
That's so dope, man. Listen, let the people know where they can connect with you on social media. We just now talked about networking, and I'm sure after they hear this, they're going to want to reach out to you just to show you some love, man, congratulate you on all your success and, you know, connect with you further. Where can the people find you?
I'm at Texas Trucks, 81, Texas_trucks_817. 817 is Fort Worth, area code. I got a lot of my units on there already. If you see out there, we're very diversified in what we do, from hot-shotting to dry van, the reefer, to pneumatics. We're very diversified in our little and all I'm on there doing is my captions are nothing but positivity and adversity. I put a lot of quotes and stuff on my post pages. I'm really still trying to get the social media stuff down.
Trying to get social on social media.
Yeah, I'm still in that, because I'm kind of stuck in two generations, old school and the new. But I know that the power of this is so beautiful that I'm like, man, reinvent yourself, you know?
For sure. Well, Marcus Jones, man, you are definitely a beacon of light, man. You're definitely an inspiration, and you know, I'm proud of you. You've accomplished a lot, man. You're a young brother, man. You're 36 years old to be able to accomplish what you've accomplished, man, is awesome, man. I just wish you the best.
Yeah, appreciate you, bro.
Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this story. And we're definitely going to connect and network as we spoke about before and just keep on building, man. Keep on pushing each other forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Most definitely, man. I appreciate you extending yourself to me, man. I was just extending myself just to say hi, and you hit me with a come on the show, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I can do that.
You know? There we go. There we go.
That ain't always my lane, but I think this is a good thing you're doing, bro. You're connecting people, and it's also opening our eyes to what's out there, you know? Because it's a lot of us doing good. It's a lot of us doing our thing. It's a lot of us are and you're being that platform. I really appreciate you you being that beacon of light too.
For sure, man. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Hustle fam, we are out. I'm sure y'all are inspired. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all connect with Marcus on the gram, on social media. All right, y'all. We all out. Right.
Appreciate you, bro.
Later. If you like what you heard, it's only going to get better. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a comment. Let us know what you want to learn or hear more about. Till next time, love is love, truck and hustle.